who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Criticism of what many say is a secret police aerial surveillance program in the city of Baltimore continues. Some, like Assistant Public Defender Daniel Cobrin, are questioning whether it's even constitutional.
Without a warrant, without any judicial oversight, no, the police should not be using this.
While admitting they did not disclose that they're testing this aerial surveillance program, Police Commissioner Kevin Davis says the technology is just very much similar to the street-level cameras they use, and he says the program from above is only in a test phase and is being privately funded as of now. Brazilian police now filing criminal charges against U.S. swimmer Ryan Lochte for lying about being robbed at gunpoint during the Rio Games. The gold medal winner claiming that he and three other American swimmers were held up. Police say an investigation into the incident found no such crime took place and that the swimmers vandalized a gas station restroom, though police documents indicate all they did was knock a sign off the wall. This is USA Radio News.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
There are certain aspects of our political discourse have gotten too polarized in a way that ultimately is counterproductive and only does feed greater dysfunction in our political system.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest says the White House makes a rare rebuke of both presidential candidates, saying the recent racial undertones brought into the presidential election are not helpful to the country. If you have an iPhone, you need to update your system now.
The previously unknown glitch can give hackers complete access to a targeted iPhone. Apple released a security patch yesterday that fixes that vulnerability.
Aftershocks continue in Italy after a massive earthquake with a 4.7 aftershock leveling more houses today. This resident, known only as Francisco, told Sky News he has nowhere to live.
There isn't a house. I don't have a house.
More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
This investigation is the number one priority for the Phoenix Police Department. You all know how many instances we've had. We've had seven homicides, seven victims of homicides related to this series.
Phoenix Police Chief Joseph Yammer is part of a press conference announcing an increase in reward for information on a serial shooter who not only has killed seven people, has left nine people wounded as part of his shooting spree. Some good news out of New York in the case of two teenagers missing after a hike.
They were trying to figure out the way. It was a little bit too dark, and as the morning came, they were able to find a trail, and then they met a hiker on the trail who actually called the police for them.
At least 70,000 people expected to gather in the northern Nevada desert for this year's Burning Man Festival. There's concerns this year, however, over a lack of law enforcement at the event. Pershing County Sheriff Jerry Allen tells the Reno Gazette-Journal his agency will have the same number of deputies that were patrolling Burning Man last year. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
GEICO applauds your inner ride leader.
An enthusiastic engine rev goes out to the biker in you who leads the pack. Even if that pack is a party of one, you're still a leader to GEICO. To prove it, GEICO will insure your motorcycle with great rates and 24/7 customer service. And with GEICO by your side, you're never cruising solo. which means you've just been nominated as a real ride leader. Congrats. The smell of fine leather and trailblazing is in your future.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
A corrupt public official avoiding going to jail thanks to a lenient judge. Here's the story.
The judge originally ordered Sheldon Silver to start serving his 12-year sentence next week. However, the judge's new ruling yesterday allows the former state assembly speaker to remain free on bail while he appeals his corruption conviction, and that could help Silver avoid the slammer for up to a year. Silver was convicted on fraud, extortion, and money laundering in connection with bribery schemes. Scott Pringle, New York.
If you've ever shown up somewhere where you've seen food or beverages on the honor system, where you take it and give a dollar, it may have been part of a study because it's part of a project. Here's Chris Barnes.
That's a fun social experiment that tests the honesty of Americans by setting up unmanned racks of honest tea beverages. They offer them for a dollar, but on an honor system. This year's results showing 93% of Americans are honest, as compared to 94% last year. But Honest Tea's TCO, Seth Goldman, says it still isn't bad.
We have done this experiment for more than 7 years now, and we've seen consistently over 90% of people.
Women proved to be more honest than men for the seventh straight year. Honolulu and Austin ranking as the most honest cities. Denver was found to be the least honest. Free USA Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes.
And forest fires, not just a problem in California and Indonesia right now. Wildfires are so bad, the air quality in Singapore has deteriorated to unhealthy levels. USA Radio News. I'm Jason Wirt.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon on this hot Friday. We've seen a lot of commercials because I had to sign some documents, and so sorry about that. I'm Pat Smits, the program It's the Law, and we'll talk about what's happening in the law. And as I just had a client sign some documents to avoid going to trial, which is something everyone should try to avoid. And believe it or not, even those of us who are an attorney, our attorneys try to avoid it. So what's happening out there? It actually feels like it's the hottest day of the summer. Even though the temperature says it's only about 92 degrees, it feels like it's well over 100. Tonight, mostly clear, low of about 64 degrees. Again, tomorrow, warm, hot, up around 90 degrees for the high, sunny, mostly clear tomorrow night, and another sunny, beautiful Sunday, high of about 89 degrees. So we really should have a beautiful weekend. The weekend, can you believe it, before Memorial Day? Yeah, I was about to say before Memorial Day. I wish. It's the weekend before Labor Day. So Sunday night, again, mostly clear. Slight chance of thunderstorms on Monday, and going into the week, we really don't have good predictions, and sometimes I don't think we have great predictions even for the next day. But this should be a beautiful, sunny, warm weekend, and we'll be back to tell you, well, the weather is sponsored by me today. So let me just do one thing, and then I'll be back, and we'll talk about the law. Well, everybody is enjoying the summer, and actually, because there's so many people on vacation, not a lot is happening. Not a lot of cases are being decided right now. Not a lot of opinions are coming out. There was talking about the New Jersey whistleblowers law. When can you believe it's been 8 years since New Jersey joined other states and the federal government in enacting a whistleblower plan that compensates tipsters for claims against businesses that defraud government agencies. Not sure how many people have collected on that, but its expansion is not imminent. So that's the one thing we know. Now, Prudential entered a $33 million settlement over death benefit payments. They've agreed to that settlement of a class action on behalf of shareholders who claimed the company misstated its financial condition by failing to fully account for liabilities owed to beneficiaries of policyholders. And that could be pretty significant, obviously, if they didn't manage to tell people what benefits they owed beneficiaries of policyholders. So there was a, well, some things get funny. In 2001, a panel of appeals judges in Philadelphia considered if an attorney who told her opponent, go F yourself, should face sanctions. As the opinion took shape, the judges paused. Should they quote the full obscenity? And so that's where... in this case, it was, quote, go, F, asterisk, asterisk, just two. So nobody could even figure out how many letters were in the word. So what's happening as far as cases approved for publication? Well, the case, this was a civil procedure, which means it has to do with, you know, how the courts are going to handle certain things under the law. And this was an injured plaintiff who alleged that he received inadequate medical care while housed in a government facility cannot avoid his obligation to serve an affidavit of merit under the New Jersey statute by naming only the public entity. So what happens in cases in New Jersey is that there has to be someone who will sign an affidavit of merit that there is some merit to the claim. And in this case, the defendant only named the public entity as a defendant in his complaint and was not suing the individual licensed professionals who proved, or he said they allegedly provided him with inadequate care. So the court in this case, the appellate division, extended the holding in another case that required an affidavit of merit where a legal malpractice complaint named only law firms as defendants and not their associate. The licensed attorney who actually was the negligent person. So now the court has extended that case to cases involving public entity defendants and involving other forms of malpractice. So in other words, you have to have an affidavit of merit if you're injured, and you'd have to certainly talk to your attorney because you're going to have someone, doctor, physician, or if it's a legal malpractice, a lawyer, say that there's merit to the complaint. And that makes it a little bit harder to file frivolous lawsuits. There actually was an interesting case. It was not published. And this was Judge Jones, who has been a pretty prolific writer of opinions. And the opinion Malik versus Malik addressed pendenti litigi alimony against the backdrop of recently enacted statutory amendments to the statute. And in this case, plaintiff was a teacher earning $90,000 per year, while the defendant is a hairdresser with an imputed income of $20,000 per year. And the parties each filed for divorce, and they are living separately, but have been sharing joint legal and residential custody of their children. In this case, the wife filed a motion against the husband seeking pendenti litigi alimony, meaning she wanted support during the pendency of the case. And she contended that she needed alimony in order to maintain the marital lifestyle and the standard of living, which she had not been able to maintain at the same level as her husband because he was not paying support. Now, in turn, he contended that the defendant did not need alimony, meaning his wife did not need pendenti litigi support, emphasizing that she moved in with her mother, and he argued that as a result, she had no real shelter expenses, and therefore her budget did not reflect the necessity for spousal support. Now, the amended alimony statute established that the marital standard of living was relevant to both parties, and what Judge Jones found that in this case, the evidence reflected that the party's marital lifestyle budget was $6,100 per month, and presently there was not enough money for both parties to maintain the same lifestyle living apart that they were able to afford while living together. Well, that's certainly the case in almost every case, that two people basically can't live as cheaply as one. So while the judge said the court might consider the totality of all factors, it would not be appropriate or equitable to deny the wife reasonable interim support in order to meet a reasonable budget merely because her mother was helping her under financially challenging circumstances. So then, considering the applicable statutory factors, the court ordered the husband to pay the wife $350 per week in pendenti, pendency during the pendency of the coit case, $350 per week. So that was how Judge Jones handled that case. And honestly, in very, very few cases can both parties maintain the marital lifestyle. But what Judge Jones found is the fact that she was living with the mother didn't change to any great extent that she needed money, and he required it to be paid. Now, in the Workers' Compensation Act, not the automobile insurance statute, which governs claims against third-party tortfeasors by workers who are injured on the job motor vehicle accidents, and that's been decided by an appellate court. So in other words, instead of the motor vehicle statute, it would be the workman's comp. And that's pretty that would make big differences in some cases. So it's not the automobile insurance statute, but Workers' Compensation Act that would deal whenever there is a motor vehicle accident that was a result of a motor vehicle injury by an employee. Now, the recent other case, civil procedure, now this was a Chancery Division, Judge Hansberry, actually, in Morris County. So the issue here was an employment agency sued a competitor for poaching its employees. And then there was an amended complaint which was dismissed for failure to file the requisite registration in New Jersey pursuant to the Private Employment Agency Act. And the trial court held that the Act, the PEAA, required dismissal of all claims that relate to the operation of plaintiff's agency services. So this would be a very, you know, specific case for, you know, certainly that issue is not going to come up very often, but it certainly did there. And then there was another case, three consolidated appeals, Lambert versus Travelers Indemnity of America versus Qualinks NJ, Qualinks. And it said in this case they held that when a worker is injured in the course of his or her employment, that's the motor vehicle accident case, and workers' compensation coverage is available, the right of the injured worker to pursue claims against third-party tortfeasors and the right of the workers' compensation insurer to be reimbursed are governed, in fact, by that Workers' Compensation Act. So that in this case, the injured worker may recover medical expenses from the third-party tortfeasor, which is part of the Automobile Insurance Cost Reduction Act. Actually, that does not apply. So the workers' compensation insurer, in turn, however, has the right to be reimbursed for the appropriate portion of the medical expenses it has already paid. So this is something that, as a litigant, you wouldn't worry about. You'd let your attorney handle it, frankly. So, as I said, there are not that many cases that have been decided and approved for publication in the last couple weeks. There was a lawyer who sued a New Jersey school district on behalf of a special needs student and was taken to task by a federal judge for, quote, simply inexcusable, end quote, conduct in his bid to recover $160,000 in fees and costs. And the judge basically said that was, you know, outrageous. There was the New Jersey Supreme Court has ruled that a patron at a water park who was severely injured while using a wave riding machine can, in fact, sue the facility for negligence. So this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they have decided that, in fact, yes, he can. This was the case, and it was called Steinberg versus Sahara Sands Oasis. And the summary judgment record viewed in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, the Supreme Court said, would allow a reasonable finder of fact to conclude that the plaintiff's injuries were caused by Sahara Sam's gross negligence. And then further, while a violation of the Safety Act standing alone does not give rise to a private cause of action, particular violations of the Safety Act, either individually or in their aggregate, may be considered as evidence in determining whether Sahara Sam's acted with gross negligence. So what does a case like this really instruct us? Well, what it tells me is that I know better than to ever handle a personal injury case. And I've had clients call me, and I've had other people call me. And, of course, what I believe my role in that situation is to get them the best possible attorney that handles and knows how to handle these cases, because it's not the kind of case you want to not handle correctly. no cases. And that's why I'm always amazed when people retain attorneys who don't have experience in the area of law. I've learned and learned a long time ago that there are very few attorneys that can handle general practice. There's still a few older attorneys around who handle a number of areas of practice. But for most of us, we've learned that we need to have a niche. We need to know how and need to learn as much as possible about our area. And there's so much to learn in every area that to be a general practitioner anymore is, I think, almost impossible. So the what else is claimed? New Jersey Appellate Division has held that an employment contract provision limiting a worker's right to sue a third party is contrary to public policy and therefore unenforceable. So we always have to look at whether or not there's something that is contrary to public policy. It's an important concept in the law. Well, let's see what else. That was the case where the plaintiff's state law failure to warn claims under the PLA based on alleged inadequate labeling, which did not match the brand name labeling and warn of the dangers of long-term use of the drug, are not preempted by federal law and may proceed before the trial court. So that was the case. Again, that was a Supreme Court decision. There is another decision in employment litigation, published decision, and it is a appellate division case, not decided by Judge Accurso, but the opinion was read, the opinion was written by Judge Accurso. What I have to say, the most of the attorneys on the, most of the judges on the appellate division are really top-notch, and they generally get it right. I had a case recently where they really did not get it right because they really didn't look into the federal statute, the Brady Amendment, and why there is no retroactive child support, no retroactive reduction of child support. And this was not child support per se. It was expenses that were fraudulently claimed. And they just kind of went with what they considered the black letter law. But in general, that doesn't happen. And certainly Judge Accurso, she's one of the judges that I would like to read all of her opinions because they're well done, well thought out, and well written. So in that case, the appellate division considered whether the trial court correctly dismissed the claims of retaliation and constructive discharge at the close of her proofs pursuant to the court rule. And although they rejected the trial court's conclusion that the plaintiff's report to the police of a workplace incident in which a customer of her employer tugged down the sleeve of her shirt revealing her bra was not protected activity under the law against discrimination, they affirmed the dismissal because the proofs were otherwise insufficient to sustain a judgment in the plaintiff's favor. So they concluded that the plaintiff's constructive discharge claim was properly dismissed because no reasonable juror could find her receipt of two written warnings, which she contended were issued in retaliation for her pressing charges against the customer, and the coldness of her co-workers following her decision to go to the police. No juror would find that so intolerable that a reasonable person would be forced to resign rather than to continue to endure it. And this was the case was Prager versus Joyce Honda, and what the court quoted was a Supreme Court case decided in 2002, Shepherd versus Hunterdon Developmental Center. So what they said is that, wasn't enough. No jury would believe that that would be enough have such an intolerable situation that she was forced to resign. Now, the there was a novel question in a case, Vitale versus Shering Plow, and that was in the context of a worker for a security guard service, and the issue was whether a provision in an employment contract limiting a worker's right to sue a third party for negligence is enforceable. So in other words, you sign an employment contract. Excuse me. If you sign an employment contract that limits your right to sue a third party for negligence, is that enforceable? Now the court, the appellate division, in a decision written by Judge Koblitz, determined that such a provision emanating from an employee's remedies from a non-employer and allowing only those remedies provided from his or her employer pursuant to the Workers' Compensation Act is against New Jersey public policy. So that was what I was mentioning, that you have to be careful that something is not against public policy. So in this case, they said as a result, it was unenforceable. And because the plaintiff could have contributed to the fall by not turning on the light prior to stumbling, the court also remanded for a new trial as to comparative negligence only. And that was where, in this case, the plaintiff, in the course of his work duties, was injured after tripping over an object negligently left on the dark staircase. So, how much did he contribute because he didn't turn on the light? That's basically the issue, because there is, you have to see what kind of, comparative negligence is important in New Jersey. In other words, is someone 100% at fault, or did the other person have some partial responsibility? And that's what will go back for the court to decide. Well, and at any time there's entertainment and sports law, I perk up, of course. And this is a Third Circuit case, meaning this is a federal case. And the majority, there was, in fact, a majority, obviously, but there was a dissenting by Judge Fuentes and Judge Vananeski. So this is a question of, after New Jersey's constitution was amended to permit the legislature to authorize sports wagering at casinos and racetracks, except on collegiate events in the state, then the legislature enacted the Sports Wagering Act, which established a comprehensive regulatory scheme for such wagering. Now, five sports leagues filed suit, alleging that it, meaning the what New Jersey enacted, the Sports Wagering Act, violated the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, which prohibited state-sponsored sports gambling. So that was the issue. And the district court held that the they held that the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act was constitutional and envisioned the law's implementation. And that's what the district court held, and the Third Circuit affirmed, and the U.S. Supreme Court denied cert. So in 2014, the legislature passed the bill, S-2460, which prohibited wagering on New Jersey college teams' competitions and any collegiate competition in the state, and limited sports wagering to persons 21 years or older, and limited it to casinos and racetracks. Now, as I said, the sports leagues challenged the law, and they said that the reasoning that the 2014 law was a partial repeal of the state's long-standing prohibition on sports betting that necessarily resulted in sports wagering with the state's permission. So the district court held that it violated the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act and enjoined its implementation. And then, as I said, the panel of the Third Circuit affirmed in a divided ruling. And then after that ruling was vacated, the Third Circuit, sitting in bank, affirmed, finding that without the law, New Jersey's myriad of laws prohibiting sports gambling would apply to the casinos and racetracks, and therefore the law provided the authorization for conduct that was otherwise legally prohibited and violated, as I said, violated the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. So the two dissenting judges opined that a partial reversal was not tantamount to authorizing by law a sports wagering scheme. The third dissenting judge opined that the federal statute was intended to compel states to prohibit sports wagering and was therefore unconstitutional. So looked like nobody could agree, but the majority did hold that the federal, not the federal, but the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Law, which is federal, that in fact carried the day. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Want to see what else is happening here. It's a short news break, and then we'll be back for more information about the law.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
What is being uncovered now is one of the most shocking scandals in American political history. It's Watergate all over again.
Donald Trump hammering Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail about the burgeoning scandal with the Clinton Foundation. Now that it's been proven, major donors to the Clinton Foundation were given meetings through the foundation with Clinton after the State Department said they couldn't meet with her through State Department channels. Trump said the accusations made by Clinton he's a racist is an attempt to deflect from her crimes. Canadians in shock after three people were killed in a crossbow attack. A fourth man is hospitalized. Here's Toronto Detective Sergeant Mike Carbone.
There is another person who's at the hospital. I won't discuss what, if any, injuries that person has, but that's as far as I'll go with that.
Carbone gave the information to CTV. More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods, no MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic. Nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial allergies in one powdered drink mix. Comes in two flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body's pH levels and boost your energy naturally. And it's safe for kids. So let's fire up that immune system and stay focused. Go to www.onedailylift.com. That's one, O-N-E, dailylift.com. Onedailylift.com, and let's get healthy.
Well, we're back. Program It's the Law, and as I said, there's not a whole lot that's been going on. See if we can find something else that is news that's really worth talking about. There, as I said, there are a number of cases that have been not published, and I sometimes talk about them. Just like I said, the Mallett case today was not published, but it was significant for a lot of people who are looking to see how the judges are going to handle the new alimony under the amended statute. So that, you know, a lot of times actually the unpublished cases are more enlightening than some of the published cases. But we cannot use them as precedent, and that's the point. And that is the difficulty, because you might find one unpublished case. And the rule is, if you do submit an unpublished case in support of something that you're supposed to provide all other unpublished cases on that subject. And, of course, it's very hard to find all of the unpublished cases. So the tendency is you find something that looks good for your side and you don't really look at anything else. Or you don't look far enough, or frankly, it's not easy to find them. So that we've had a number of voter registration bills that have been passed, and on August 18th, Governor Christie vetoed one bill that would have automatically registered drivers to vote when they apply for a driver's license. And he also vetoed another bill that would have allowed some 17-year-olds to vote in primary elections. And as I recall, that bill was a bill that the 17-year-olds would have been 18 before the general election. And so that the argument it was that since they'll be able to vote in the general election, they should be able to vote in the primary. But as I said, that both of these were vetoed and probably will not be passed over the veto. It could be. And actually, for a lot of people, they would think that if you sign up for a driver's license, that makes sense to have voter registration issued with a driver's license. And it certainly would open up voting to many, many more people who don't bother to register to vote. So the there's another, probably I think, good news for everybody. In a precedential opinion, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that a Delaware prison's blanket policy of conducting 3 times a day visual cavity searches of inmates held in isolation violated their Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable searches and seizures. So they were doing this 3 times a day for any prisoners in isolation, and the court said, no, that's really too much. And, of course, the interesting thing would have been how often they actually found contraband, et cetera, when they did these searches. I have not read the case, so I don't know if it was a balancing act or just that that is just, unreasonable under any circumstances. So most of us would say that, at least if we were not in prison, it's unreasonable under all circumstances. But even prisoners have some rights, and that's what the court found. This Calabresi case was employment, and it was not approved for publication. But in this case, the plaintiff appealed the Board of Review's decision, affirming the decision of the appeals tribunal, concluding that he was ineligible for unemployment benefits because he left work voluntarily without good cause attributable to the work. And the appellate division affirmed, finding that there was adequate, substantial, and credible evidence to support the board's determination that he left his job as a waiter to begin a career with a union, and he failed to appear on days which he had been scheduled to work. So, in other words, he was trying to get unemployment as well as doing whatever else he was doing, and they found that there is adequate, substantial, and credible evidence to support the determination. So that's important. So what happens, there's an unpublished case that might be of interest to some people because it deals with what happens when someone kind of has second thoughts after a divorce. And so this was a case where a year after the parties were divorced, and it was an uncontested hearing, they had agreed to a marital settlement agreement, the plaintiff moved to set aside parts of the agreement regarding equitable distribution and alimony and asked for a hearing. And she contended that she submitted to the terms of an unfair agreement and waived distribution of certain real property in Brooklyn because her husband promised to keep the family intact after the divorce and also falsely claimed that the Brooklyn properties were on the verge of collapse. Now, the trial judge denied the plaintiff's request for a plenary hearing to reopen the judgment of divorce with regard to equitable distribution and alimony. The trial judge found no evidence of a side agreement and that the plaintiff had failed to meet her burden of showing that she had, in fact, signed the agreement under duress in light of her prior testimony that she understood the agreement and that there were no side agreements. And the appellate division affirmed for substantially the same reasons that the trial judge found that she's not entitled. And also adding that the plaintiff's certification that she had signed the agreement against her attorney's advice undercut her argument that she had signed under duress. In other words, in this case, her attorney said that she didn't advise the plaintiff to sign the agreement, and the plaintiff did it anyway. So this is surely the court said, wait a minute, if she had all the warning in the world, she knew what she was signing, and therefore they're going to enforce it. And the panel also found that the judge had not abused her discretion in denying a plenary hearing, and the analysis regarding the Brooklyn property would only have been necessary if the judge determined that reformation of the agreement was required for purposes of equitable distribution. So this one, what this shows is you can't go in and sign an agreement or say you're going to sign an agreement, testify that it's fair and reasonable, and then later on come in to have it overthrown. One of the things that I tell my clients, always tell them, is you do not have to testify that you're able to maintain the marital lifestyle. And as I talked about earlier, very few people are able to maintain the marital lifestyle after a divorce. So that if, in fact, someone goes to court and testifies that they can maintain the marital lifestyle, and I've seen attorneys ask this over and over and over again, and their clients think they're supposed to say yes, and they say yes, it's going to make it extremely difficult for them if they want to come back in the future. So that's always the problem. If you can't maintain the marital lifestyle in a divorce situation, you certainly should not testify that you can. And of course, in an uncontested divorce, the question is always asked, were you coerced? Were you pressured? Do you understand what you were signing? I should say it's almost always asked. Do you understand what you were signing? Are you aware that certain things will be decided by someone else if that's what you've agreed to? Or perhaps if there are children, you'd ask, do you understand that the children... And then you go on from there as to what you want to ask. So, you can get in a lot of trouble. And I guess there were a couple of appeals, and there was a thorny, obviously more than thorny, real thorny, big thorny, real estate dispute. And so that a firm was unable to shake a $918,000 legal malpractice judgment, although the court did uphold the dismissal against two other firms. So after bottoming out last year, the total value of government bonds issued in New Jersey in the first half of 2016 has increased somewhat, slight increase. And however, the number of bonds issued was way down. So Uber tried to settle with the drivers, but the federal judge rejected an $84 million claim that was what other things are we talking about? Actually, I am running out of things to talk about today. Atlantic City has been hit with a First Amendment suit alleging that threatening to revoke the business license of a strip club for making cash payments to taxi and limousine drivers who steered customers to the establishment was against their First Amendment, their rights to speech, speak, and whatever else they come up with. So there is a question when an arbitrator doesn't look at all the evidence, and that was, some questions about whether or not a lot of employment litigation cases recently. There was a bodily injury, personal injury. The plaintiff was BAUM. And the plaintiff appealed from an order granting summary judgment in favor of the defendant's lawyers. And in this action, alleging that defendants negligently allowed severe overcrowding in their waiting room, which caused the wife to trip, fall, and suffer a broken ankle. Now, the complaint was dismissed for failure to provide an expert report and supporting documentation and, other information. And in this case, the panel affirmed other cases. Really, there are lots of cases where criminals who were behind bars, complained that they had ineffective assistance of counsel in criminal cases, and certainly. Okay, that's about it. I really don't have much of anything more. I think we'll go to the news, and we'll come back with the sports guys.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
What is being uncovered now is one of the most shocking scandals in American political history. It's Watergate all over again.
Donald Trump hammering Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail about the burgeoning scandal with the Clinton Foundation. Now that it's been proven, major donors to the Clinton Foundation were given meetings through the foundation with Clinton after the State Department said they couldn't meet with her through State Department channels. Trump said the accusations made by Clinton he's a racist is an attempt to deflect from her crimes. Canadians in shock after three people were killed in a crossbow attack. A fourth man is hospitalized. Here's Toronto Detective Sergeant Mike Carbone.
There is another person who's at the hospital. I won't discuss what, if any, injuries that person has, but that's as far as I'll go with that. Okay.
Carbone gave the information to CTV. More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods, no MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic. Nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial allergies in one powdered drink mix. Comes in two flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body.